Author and environmental activist Bill McKibben was in Hampton, Connecticut on April 18th to receive the Gandhi Peace Award from the group Promoting Enduring Peace, which in the past has recognized leaders such as Eleanor Roosevelt, Cesar Chavez, and Daniel Ellsberg. It was the first time in the award's 50-plus year history that it was bestowed for environmental work. McKibben published The End of Nature in 1989, the first book about climate change for a non-scientific audience. Over the past decade, he has become one of the most outspoken proponents of serious steps to address existing climate catastrophe, with the prediction of more severe disasters to come. In 2008, McKibben, Schumann Distinguished Scholar at Vermont's Middlebury College, co-founded the group 350.org, which has coordinated 15,000 rallies in 189 countries since 2009, demanding government action and regulations to address climate change. In his remarks accepting the Gandhi Peace Award before a crowd of about 200, McKibben gave a brief history of the movement, starting with a 2006 50-mile walk of 1,000 people across Vermont to a rally in Burlington, the state's largest city. He recounted that participants were feeling very good about the march until the next day.
But the thing that was depressing was to open the newspaper the next day and read this story that said that 1,000 people that gathered there was probably the largest demonstration about climate change that had yet taken place in the United States. This was 2006. When I read that, I thought, no wonder we lose. We've got the superstructure of a movement. We've got Al Gore. We've got the scientists. We've got the policy people. The only part of the movement we forgot was the movement part. There's nothing there, you know, and that's what we're going to have to build. So that's what we started trying to build. And 350.org, we started shortly after. And when I say we, I mean me and seven undergraduates at Middlebury College, seven seniors, which, you know, we had no money or organization or anything. We had this name, which we took from Jim Hansen, who told us 350 parts per million CO2 was the most we could safely have in the atmosphere, a number we're already sadly well north of. We took it mostly because we wanted to organize globally, and the thing we were most worried about was how we would communicate across language barriers and Arabic numerals travel. All over the world, people figured out what these numbers meant and went to work. When we started, we had there were seven undergraduates and there were seven continents, so each one took one, you know. And the guy who took the Antarctic also had to take the internet. And we set out, and we, you know, within a year we had this first big day of action, which had 5,200 demonstrations in 181 countries. And one of the things. One of the things that it proved was that having an organization made up entirely of 21-year-olds was not a handicap. It was a great advantage because they knew how to use these new tools that we now have that allow suddenly organizing on a different kind of scale and things. And it was beautiful. Over the next 2 or 3 years, we did three or four of these huge global days of action. We've had about 20,000 rallies, every country in the earth except North Korea, tremendous amount of climate education that got done and then very necessary. That's part of what, but it's insufficient by itself to the task at hand. So we've been trying hard and consciously to sort of try and deepen this work, this movement. And our decision to go after the Keystone Pipeline and to do it with civil disobedience was very conscious. This is a huge pool of carbon up in Canada that no one knew anything about. To build the pipeline, and this was the other key part, you need a permit signed by the President of the United States. Congress, because of a kind of arcane law about infrastructure that crosses the border, Congress has nothing to do with it. It's up to the President. And so we figured there was a chance, and civil disobedience was probably a thing we'd neglected for too long in this country. And when we decided to do it, it was a sort of conscious effort to experiment and to see if there was support in the environmental community for ramping things up some. And I was really pleased to find out that there was. The people that we found, capitalism being the great thing that it is, there's somebody to do everything in this world, and we found a team of people in Washington whose expertise and career was in arranging civil disobedience, you know, a crew of people that have now become our great friends and, you know, colleagues. But We hired them, and they were very, you know, eager to go to work, but they kept saying, "You have to understand, I told them we're going to do this for 2 weeks. We're going to get people arrested every day at the White House." And they said, "You have to understand, we can do it, but it'll be 4 or 5 people a day." Because they'd been doing this for a long time, and that's sort of the scale that this had been going on at, you know. And I said, "No, I think we'll get more. I think that there are more people out there worried about this." And indeed, when we got there that first day with Dan, Annie, and there were 80 or 90 of us there waiting to get arrested, which was way more than we expected and way more than the police expected. And that's why we got to go to jail, because the police knew that there was 2 weeks of this plan and they didn't want it. And they said, "We're going to try to deter you. So instead of doing what they normally do in Washington, which is just take you to the police station and fine you $100, and that's what we were expecting. I think everybody had $100 in their pocket. They instead took us to Central Cell Block in D.C. for 3 days and 2 nights, which was just as much fun as it sounds like it would be, you know. It worked the way that civil disobedience is supposed to do. It both brought attention to the problem and underlined the moral urgency and helped us kick off this campaign that so far has kept this cursed pipeline at bay for a year and a half, and so kept, you know, half a billion barrels or so of this tar sands oil in the ground. I don't know if we're going to win this fight. The odds have been against us from the very beginning. But it's wonderful to see it happen. All the things that people are doing in 1,000 local places to stand up to the coal-fired power plant that's driving up asthma rates, to stand up to the pipeline that's going through their backyard, stand up as part of 350 or whatever else, all those things kind of knit together, and we're going to knit them together further.
That was writer, climate activist, and founder of the group 350.org, Bill McKibben, with excerpts from his April 18th talk accepting the Gandhi Peace Award from Promoting Enduring Peace. This segment was recorded and produced by Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhus. Find more information on the growing global climate change movement by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.